Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I've had a thought on my mind for quite a while. Don't want to reveal too much of private conversations. You know, we all have them, but Linda and I was somewhere a while back and something, and we was talking one of those conversations you don't usually talk about. Anyway, comment was made about some situation. We saw something and it looked bad. And it made the comment that I wonder if they know how bad that looks. And we think, I don't think so. Or they wouldn't do it. Most people have something about that. And so we're talking about the idea of how advertisements and all this put this facade out there in shows, and people, advertising does that. It makes you want to look like that or say that. And if I buy this garment, I would have to look like that. Well, that's not the way it works. That was part of the conversation. Within the conversation, there was a statement made about it's a wonderful thing to have self-awareness. And I think for the most part that for honest souls, I think it takes God to really help us see ourselves. And I really think it takes God's grace for us to want to do something about it. In order to really see it in an acknowledge it, I think that we need God's grace to help us to be able to want to be different, to be able to accept. And that's what I want to talk about today, some self-awareness and the desire to accept the responsibility for ourselves and accept who we are with a desire that I want to be like Christ. And that's the first step to have to say that this element in my life is not like Christ. And you all know, because I've put in prayer requests quite a bit for a couple over in Pakistan. And I've been dealing with this guy quite a bit, and I really would like for him to get help. I really want this to be a success, that this guy that claims Christianity, his wife does, they're very devout people. He has such a temper. And it's really, really hard for him to say the negative about himself. It is for all of us. Anyway, I helped deal with this guy, and this last incident, he grabbed his wife by the hair of the head and slung her around. She hit her chest on a table, and she was hurt and all that. And it's a regular thing. He gets so... I think it's a disgrace to God and to God's grace to say that there isn't help for that. I mean, God does so have help for you, okay? You don't... That's the way I am. No? Okay. It's the way you are. Good. Admit it. It's the way you are. But don't just stop there and say, what is the scripture, Brother Mansell, in the first chapter of James that says something about looking into it's like looking into a mirror. It's like looking and you see yourself. I think it says they that hear the word and don't do the word. It's like the man that looks into a glass and sees himself, but then he goes away and forgets what manner of man he is. And it's like looking and saying, this is, okay, I can come to this point that I can realize I have this problem, but this is just the way I am. No, let's not stop right there. It's not just the way you are. God has made a way that every one of us can be Christ-like. There is the grace of God, so we don't want to come short of that. Lord, help us today, though, to have some self-awareness. You know, the Lord came to Solomon and said to Solomon, I'm going to grant you, what would you like? I will grant unto you whatever your petition. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for things on that. But Solomon was commended because rather than asking for all of the fleshly things, he said, this job's too big for me. The people's too great. Lord, give me wisdom that I might be able to rule these great people. And God was pleased with Solomon's request for that. Well, the Lord never come and asked me about anything like that. But what would you say to the Lord if the Lord would say, for your benefit to go to heaven, for your benefit, what do you... I think I'd be well off if I was a rich man. I could give to a lot of people. What would you say? You know, I think one of the things that we could actually say to the Lord if he was to ask, Lord, help me to have self-awareness. Help me to see who I am and have the desire to be able to change that. Help me to change that. I've never been in it, of course, but there is something they call Alcoholics Anonymous. This is was something that's been around for a while. And it was a system set up because people do have problems with alcohol. And they people that have problems, they can't quit drinking and all that. There's this thing. I'm not against it. I think it's a good thing as much as it is for what it is. But I know one of the things they always said that had to happen, the first thing, never can they go any farther than this. The first step of this, they have to come in, and if they come in and they say, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't have a problem. I had an uncle, some of you knew, he was Uncle Wilmer. Uncle Wilmer, some of the folks over there said that, I was very pleased with that. They said that he prayed before he died and that he had sought the Lord. I'm glad that he did. But he was an alcoholic for most of his life. And you couldn't talk, you never could convince him. Nobody ever convinced him. Even though he laid in a drunken stupor most of the time, he couldn't. He got up in the morning drinking. He went to bed. He was an alcoholic, and there's no doubt about it. And he never could, had to be hospitalized over and over for it. And he never could just say, this drinking's killing me. I really wish I could stop this. His drinking was never a problem. He would lay around to his feet with, they called it trench foot in the war, but he wouldn't wash them, and they'd get wet and all, and his feet would actually start rotting, and the circulation was poor, and they'd have to be hospitalized. And I remember going and visiting him and talk with him and stuff, and he told me, he said, I'm telling you what, I got to change shoes. He said, I wear these old leather shoes. They're not real leather, and they're man-made materials, and they just kill my feet. And I'm saying, it's laying around in your car for a week at a time without taking your shoes off. You couldn't tell him. He hid it from himself. Maybe he didn't want to deal with it, but he seemed like he honestly believed that. There was no self-awareness or anything there. You know, Lord, help us through the problems that we have in our life and things in this half that we have that an awareness. Lord, I know that I've got problems. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that there's things in me and about me that I need your help with. I know those kind of things. And in a minute, I'm quick. Okay, I'll just say it. I'm quick to say things sometimes. I'm too quick. I say things before. And after I think about them, I said it wrong. I shouldn't have said it. And you know what? Next day, I'll do it again. I might do it again next week. I'm going to do it again. There is shortcomings that we have. You know, the best way to deal with those things is to have the awareness and even ask the Lord, Lord, why am I like that? I need something that I don't have. Most everybody in here has done it. Maybe not everybody, but maybe not everybody. Our family does it. But I know companies come out with these things, and it's got better and better, I think, as it went, if there's any value in it. But they do these tests. Brother Clint Doolittle's, when he worked at GE and all, they had a real good one. But anyway, you answer all these questions, and then it types you. Anybody ever done that? It'll give you a type. And there's various different tests and stuff that it does. And they don't do that just because it's a fun game to try to do. The companies do it because they want interactings in the company to go smooth. And what they realize is once you do this and then they label you, you're a perfectionist. And you expect everything in your life to be perfection. And here's what you can do to counteract this way you are in our company. So if you're a perfectionist and this guy over here is not, and you've got to team up with him, these are some of the steps that you can do to help yourself not be way out there. Okay, and isn't it? So the companies do this so we can label and stuff. And so the reasons is that if you can say, as you get through with the test, if you get through and say, that is me. I am like that. And the problems that's been created in my life might be this reason. Hey, maybe this is the reason I'm divorced 3 times. Hey, maybe this is why I'm estranged from my children. Maybe this is why all these things. Maybe this is the reason right here. Maybe there's a corrective measure that we can take. The reason they did this was so their company would be cohesive and work better. And it'll work better. And some people that withdrew themselves and say, and they look and say, I'm too withdrawn. Maybe there's something I can do to help that. And this is all in the natural sense. But you know, there's something about self-awareness to be able to say, this is my situation. This is where I'm at with this. I would like, it's the lazy effect anyway. I would like for the Lord, in our sincerity, for us to say, Lord, I want to be more like you. And an abracadabra, a waving of a hand. The Lord put his hand on your head. You're like that. Voila. It doesn't work that way. Or it has never worked that way in my life. The Lord actually works in the events and things in life to boil things out sometimes, to bring it out to you. Say, I'm having this consistent issues in my life. And I need help for them. I don't know what causes them, what doesn't. And the Lord brings it to the place that a sincere soul says, I don't like being not like Jesus. I don't like having these things in my life. Lord, help me to see myself in this. You know what? Honest people most always come to the problem, they come to the recognition almost in every problem an honest soul does, is that I didn't do something right in that. Most of the time an honest person will realize it's not always everybody else's fault. It's not. Honestly, there's places in there. I've said this many times and it's true. I mean, I would say this. I'm not ever looking for this to happen, but if something would happen that my wife couldn't stand, she's not around me anymore, and she leaves and says, I can't take this guy anymore, she might be totally wrong about a lot that she does, but I would have to admit, I haven't done everything in our life right. Maybe I could have loved her more and been more compassionate, more. Maybe I could have been more winning to her. Of course I could. Of course I could be in all of that. Lord, help us to have some self-awareness. We can look sometimes 20/20 on the things around us. We can look sometimes and we put such a, I know what this is about, looking at you. Sometimes it's so hard to see the things in me. So I like to look at that a little bit. I have a few scriptures, but I like to look at that with the idea of self-awareness. Over in Revelation, it's a common scripture over there. 14th verse of the 3rd chapter of Revelation. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith Amen, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would... that were cold or hot. I don't know. Brother Rod Smith brought this out one time. I've never really thought about it like he had brought it out. But he brought it out in the sense that, well, I like a hot drink in the morning. I like to get up and have a hot drink, kind of get going. He was saying, you know, a hot drink can be really motivating. A cold drink can be refreshing. As Christians, in our Christian life, we're to add something. We're to add something to people. We should be something to it. The Lord here was saying, you're neither one. As far as what you can be used for, you should be stimulating to someone. You should be refreshing to someone. There should be something. Our lives isn't for nothing. God has a vessel. He looks at us as a vessel. We're to have something in our lives. It doesn't mean that you have to be the one that has a bullhorn from the top of the buildings. It doesn't mean that you're the one there. But every one of us is a vessel for some use of the Lord. Hot or cold. Not lukewarm is neither. Lukewarm can't be felt. You can put your hand in lukewarm water. You can't hardly tell it's there. I get up almost without fail every morning. One of the first things I do is go in and the coldest water I can get, and the change between the way I feel, sleepy, groggy, getting up, within seconds of this cold water going over my face and stuff, it exhilarates me. Brings me to life. You know, the Lord wants us to have something. Do you have something? This is self-awareness. Where am I at? Where am I at in it? What do I think about? Where am I at in this? He said, because thou wert neither cold nor hot, I would spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich. These people thought they were rich. What was they calculating? They was looking at the abundance of the things they have, their bank accounts, their cars, their... You can look and say the importance of it. These people were saying, the angel says to them, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Do you know that there... It is true. It's God that giveth. If they had increase, it was God that giveth. We live in a very prosperous country. Does it mean that we're spiritual giants? We're blessed, right? God's blessing us, right? So we must be important. We must be spiritual. We're spiritual. Yes, we are. We have to be. That's the way it works. If God's blessing you, it's because He's approving of you and you must be spiritual. Well, we started this and we're just being blessed above every congregation. We're blessed. We're rich. We're rich. We don't need anything. This is proof of it. Really? Oh, no. And knowest not, and Lord help us, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is the way you appear before God. Thinking that you have it all together and all right. I don't mean to just keep on this. I mentioned it in Sunday school, but it was troubling to my spirit. And I watched this video of this guy going around blessing these people. Supposedly blessing these people. And, oh, they got before he started doing that, the Spirit of the Lord came down, supposedly. And they was, oh, that they was a jump, and some of them was just sitting like looking at what was going on. And I was sitting there looking and saying to myself, what's the accomplishment of this? I couldn't help from thinking, is your life clear? I don't look into people's life. I only look at the outward appearance like everybody else. But the questions kept arising to me. Are you using this as the pinnacle of your spirituality? Do you love your brother? Are you compassionate and pitiful towards those that don't have? Are you kind in your words? Are you gentle? Do you have the disposition and spirit of Christ in your life? This other stuff. Well, if you have all that, I'd have to challenge. But what is this? Self-awareness. I asked Brother Veda. He went through a lot of that stuff. You know, Brother Veda that was here. I asked him about it because he was one of them that done all that. And I said, well, Brother Veda, you don't do that anymore. But you had it then. You done all that stuff? And he said, oh, yeah, I done it. And I said, well, how did you get that started? Well, they'll teach you to do it. Really? And you did all that stuff? Yeah. And I said, well, did it really happen? He said, oh, no. You said everybody does it, so you kind of do it. Well, maybe not everybody's that experienced, but, you know, there needs to be some self-awareness. Is this really what I should be doing? Is this really right? Convincing yourself, well, I know it's right, but it's just not with me quite yet, so it's going along till it is. Self-awareness. You don't know, it says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou might be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Scripture over in Luke, 18th chapter of Luke. Ninth verse, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank, it says he prayed within himself, so I'm assuming that it wasn't out loud. This was the attitude of his heart. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. So here was a parable of two men that went up to the place, and one seemed the pious, the religious. He's the one you would have seen in service on Sunday. He's the one that would have stepped forward in any project that would have been done. He would have been the guy that he was go-to guy. He was the guy that did the religious functions of all that. Is that wrong? No. It's absolutely right. We should. We should do all of those things. And yet Jesus did not commend him, because he didn't see himself. He had no awareness about who he really was, what he really was. Obviously, he thought that was the right way to do it. I'm glad I'm not as this publican over here. I'm so glad that I'm not like this. You ever stop and think, why did you have such an opportunity to be saved? Have you ever stopped and thought, what makes me different? Why am I me? Why am I in this situation and the guy laying in the ditch drunk? Why am I not that guy? What was the... You know what? It wasn't by my goodness. It wasn't by anything I ever done. It wasn't anything that I ever deserved. I have to just say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I don't know. And that's the truth. I don't know, and nobody can know. I don't know what could have happened to me or where I could be or what the situations of my life would be if it wasn't for the grace of God. I owe everything to the grace of God. Everything. We owe our life. We owe everything we have. We owe our relationships. We owe everything to the grace of God. If you're not like something that, why wasn't you? I'll say this. We look at some of the things in other lands and places like that and different beliefs and all that. What do you think your chances of being a Muslim would be if you'd have been born to Muslim parents over in the Middle East somewhere? What do you think your chances would have been? I'd say they'd be pretty high. If it wasn't for the grace of God, God is what done by His own wisdom and everything. It's by God. Lord, give us some self-awareness about ourselves. You know, there's an idea, let's not compare ourselves among ourselves. Well, then what should I look at? I should compare myself with Christ, that I want to be like Him. Lord, help me to see those things about my life. More than be able to see them, though. Lord, help me to be able to want to do something about them, to change them, that I might be able to see them. Well, this is talking about a sinner, but this sinner had some eye salve enough to know that he was a sinner, and he knew that he needed mercy in his life. And so he called on God's mercy, and the Lord commended him and said, this man went down to his house justified. He found mercy there for asking all that. He didn't exalt himself up. He didn't try to say that he was anything. He saw himself for what he really was. You know, it's hard to see ourselves, isn't it? Matthew 26 chapter, there's a situation here with one of Jesus' followers. Oh, I'll pick it up. The 31st verse. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now, I want to set this scenario up as one that looks back 2,000 years with the accuracy of scriptures to go by looking at it. I realize that. But you know, there's things about life and things that we can think we know for sure. I know how I feel. I don't think Peter in any sense was distorting the way he felt. I think that was an honest assessment at the moment. Have you ever been in situations that you felt like you could take on anything right now? Of course we have. If you've lived for the Lord, you have. I feel like I'm strong, and I say, I can turn around and say to the devil, bring it on. I wouldn't do it. I've learned better, Sister Billie Jean. I wouldn't do it. But there's been times that I just said, I've been in camp meetings before and get so fired up, I just think I'm ready to do it. I do anything. Why, there's no pain too strong. There isn't no persecution too hard. I'll stand for any. I feel that way. If you ask me, I'll tell you. That's the way I feel. I think that Peter was true to his feelings. I think he loved the Lord. He had been with him and saw him, and he was on cloud nine at the time. He was up, and he knew him. He knew himself to a degree. He thought he knew himself. And his feelings for the moment, I've been like that. You know how long it takes that to change? You about couldn't turn two circles sometimes. It can happen so fast. It can happen so fast. I've went from being able to, I'm ready to run through the fire and jump over the wall, till I'm cowardly down begging God. Cowardly. God, I need help. I remember going from one of them one time in the middle of the night and sickness and all that was, and I was ready to scream. I think I did. I think I literally just screamed. I didn't know myself. So here was Jesus, right at the end of this thing, Peter had seen water turn to wine. He'd seen the lame walk. Walked on water. Seen Jesus walk on water. Seen the sea calm at his voice. Had seen blind man healed. Had seen all these things by the Son of God. And withstood him right to his face what he told him. I know better than you do. You said we'll all deny you, but I'm telling you, though everybody else deny you, I won't. I just want to use that for an example sometime of something. We don't know ourselves like we think we do. And even when we think we do, there ought to be what they call an asterisk. There should be, by the grace of God, I can. By God's grace, I can. And nothing else. That's the only thing. Peter would have been so much better off to say, Lord, your words are true. But you give me grace and I'll stand with you. Jesus would have said, Peter, I'm going to do this one alone. This is not for you. But no, Peter thought that he knew himself. And we know the story as it went. He said, I'll never be offended. We blame that on, is that in this reading? Yeah, it is. It wasn't just Peter. He was just the outspoken one. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said to him, though I die with thee. Have you ever felt like that you could die for this? I have. Well, I felt like it. Bring it on. I'll do it. Peter felt so confident in his understanding of himself. Without pressure. No pressure was on him. He was standing right beside the Lord for everything that God, he had done for him. He was standing right there and he was saying, if you die, I die too. Peter didn't know himself. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So all the disciples there said what the Lord said wasn't true. Lord, we know what you said, but no, we're not going to do that. He was right, and they were wrong. And he'll be right in your life too, and you'll be wrong in your life too. Lord, help us to have the self-awareness that we need about life. Help us to know what the Lord wants to do. The Lord wants to take us all to heaven for sure. But the Lord wants more than that. He wants us to be an example and witness of what he can do in this life. He wants a functional body in this world. He wants us to have functional families. This world needs to see this more than ever. He wants us to demonstrate his grace in this life. And what it's going to take is to be able to be a self-aware enough to deal with our problems. Deal with our issues. Deal with the things in our life. This is what I am. This is what causes this. I'm a rebellious person. Okay, I said it. I'm a rebellious person. Or I got a temper. I'll just say it. I got a temper. Or I'm going to say, I'm not a diligent person. I'm lazy. I'm the lazy, okay? I'm lazy. Lord, help me. I'm lazy. I don't put out the effort that I should. You know, sometimes you're going to have to be aware and be able, sometimes maybe it's better just, you don't have to tell me. But there is a scripture that says confessing your faults one to another. There's something empowering about it. There's something about liberating about it. There's something about, I'll get it out there. Now I can't defend it anymore. I can't defend it anymore. Once I tell you all, I've got a temper. Now you're going to see my temper flare. If I do it, I need you to pray for me. Prayer will help. Self-awareness. I need to see myself for what I really am. This is the reason why I'm not getting help. This is why my help don't last very long. I'm not being honest about it. I'm not seeing myself and being aware of this. Help me to be aware of who I am. It's not enough for me to see you. Help me see me. Lord, if I could ask you anything, Lord, help me to see me. Know what causes these problems. Peter said, all the disciples said that. Well, I don't need to read the rest of that because we know what happened. He told Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows in the morning. Never. And when the cock crew, Peter went off and wept because it had come true just what the Lord said. Peter, you got great intentions. You'll be a mighty man one day in the Lord. You got a lot of potential. But you don't have what it takes to withstand this. And you're going to deny me. And thus it was. And the Lord knew. Well, there's other scriptures too. We've kind of run out of time. But I just want to touch on a little bit anyway. The story. Well, it's in 2 Samuel 12 and 7. I think, but I'll just go over the story. You can go back into the 11th verse and you'll find out where David takes Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. And a lot goes on in the process. And then all of a sudden, this great man of God, I don't think that he would have ever imagined that he could have went this place. He never knew what the deficiency of his life was going to take him. He had some deficiencies. He had some things in his life that should have been guarded. They wasn't guarded. They were let go. And it got him to this place to where he actually committed murder. He ordered Uriah up to the front of the battle to purposely don't give up on the battle until Uriah's gone. Put him in the front of the battle. He's a valiant man. He's a noble person. He's a man of integrity. He won't stop fighting. He'll give his life. Put him up there because I took his wife. What an awful, black, ugly thing. Lied and cheated and murdered and stole. He never imagined that was him. But it was. So in the 12th chapter, God sends Nathan, the man of God, to him to tell him a story. Remember the story? Because this guy had this little ewe lamb, was the only one he had. And this other guy has all of these herds and stuff, and he gets a visitor, and he spares of his flock and takes this other man's little ewe that he was like a daughter to him, and he takes it and slays it and feeds it to... And he tells, as an analogy of what David done. He tells David that. And David's vision is 20/20. David's understanding is perfect. What an awful thing to do. He had all of that flock and he takes this little lamb that's like a daughter to this poor man. This poor man had nothing. Uriah was a poor man that had nothing but his wife. David, you had all of these wives, you had these wives, you had the kingdom, all this stuff. And here's Uriah with one little wife. And you, here's the story. David's wrath was kindled. His wrath was kindled. Why, a supreme leader here and ruler with this won't go. That man shall surely die. He'll pay fourfold. He's going to pay back for me, and we're going to drop the hammer on him. All the words that must have seared through his mind. Thou art the man. You know, all of a sudden the realization that must have hit David at the time. Thou art the man. There's an old saying about, well, scriptural idea. That everything, that sin's either going to be uncovered here or there, but it's going to be uncovered one place or another. You know it's better? Ugly, dark, it's better to be uncovered here than there. Here is still the time to correct it, do something about it. We can hide it from ourselves. We can hide our own actions from ourselves. Not be willing to see own attitudes and things that we have that creates these problems. The lack of faithfulness, the lack of devotion, the lack of sincerity, the lack of honesty. All of those, all those things are hidden from your sight. My thoughts, that I think when I think my own thoughts, when I do my own things, that's between me and God. Well, the devil hears, but it's you don't know any of those things to see or any of that things. Linda and I concluded in our conversation that these people had an image of themselves. For the most part, this is what we think. It's only a thought. They have an image of themselves, and they think they look good. That's why they wear what they wear and why they do what they do. If they really knew what it was, they probably wouldn't. You know, we can have an image of ourselves, a thought about ourselves, that has been produced and think this is what everybody thinks about me. This is what I am. Lord, help us to have some self-awareness, to be able to look and see. It's very difficult for us to do. Lord, enlighten me about my own life, because today doesn't stand for itself. Tomorrow will follow. And the things you do today is going to have an effect on tomorrow. We can lose our souls over the inactions or the actions of the day. That's why we need to be aware of what we're doing, be aware of ourselves and where we're going. Brother Bob Husky preached a message years ago about being in a rut. And the statement he made back then, I remember Brother Tony quoted it for years after that, and I've used it too. But he said, the likelihood of the rut that you've created, the likelihood that you'll die in that rut is very strong. You probably that will still be in that rut when you die. You don't have to be. God give us vision. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.